Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, 4:03, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. A great, glorious day is its overreaction to opening day Friday. That's right, McMonagle here with you for another hour as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. And everything is right with the world for the New York Yankee fan, as they are thrilled with what happened yesterday. The overreaction, we know exactly what's going on. Carlos Rodon is an ace. The Yankees' offense is clearly better than last year. Wells is going to hit 40 home runs in the leadoff spot. Well, Devin Williams sucks, but we'll be okay. I mean, he's a miserable closer, but they'll figure out a way because Weaver's good. And, hey, Mark Leiter got out of that inning in 12 pitches. And, of course, Juan Soto. So much of the year, so much of the offseason based on Juan Soto and wanting why he signed with the Mets. Not only signing with the Mets, but why? Because the organization's better and the owner's better and the GM's better and the team's better and everything's better. Juan Soto, he comes through in the clutch. He's the biggest contract in the history of sports. He's changing the dynamic of the city. And then he swings and misses and chases a pitch. What the hell is going on? And for you Met fans, you got to live with it for one day because the Yankee fan has been taking it and eating it for an entire offseason about how the Mets are the team of the city. The Yankees got embarrassed in the World Series. The Mets won one more game against the Dodgers than the Yankees did anyway. Now they've got Juan Soto, and you've had to deal with it all offseason long, Yankee fans. Well, today, on Overreaction Friday, you're allowed. You're allowed to have a little fun. You're allowed to talk about how Juan Soto, of course, comes up with two runners on in a 3-1 game for the New York Mets, who lost to the Houston Astros 3-1. And not only does he not come through, but he does the one thing he never does and chases a pitch outside. And the New York Mets fall 3-1 after Clay Holmes did not have a great outing like he's had all of spring. And the New York Yankees take care of business over the Milwaukee Brewers 4-2. And to me, the story of the Yankee game, we've done a lot on the Mets as well, and Clay Holmes making his transition into a starting pitcher from a reliever. And I think as you look at it, like, it's just going to take some time. And what you've seen is the pitch selection that he's had over spring training when he's working on things. He's throwing that kick changeup all the time. When you're a reliever for 6 years and you've relied on two pitches, the sinker and the slider, that's what he's been. He's been a sinker slider guy. And when you get into real competition and you're in there in these moments where the games are on the line and you've already given up a couple runs and, yeah, Acuna throws the ball away when you had a double play there, but you're down three runs, they're getting hit, you're walking guys, you got four walks in the four innings, you don't have your sinker. Like, you're going to rely on what you know. And, yes, it's a right-handed lineup, and typically the changeup goes against the lefties, but that pitch selection wasn't that dramatic because when you get into it, you're going to go with what you know. And that's what I said about, you know, Clay Holmes. And when he doesn't have the sinker, when he's wild with the sinker, he's going to struggle, and it's going to take some time for him to find it, Like, you know, classic starting pitchers, like when you think of like Mike Mussina, for example, with the Yankees, was classic for talking about this. Like, I don't have my fastball, I'll go to my slider. I don't have my slider, I'll go to my knuckle curve. Oh, I don't have my knuckle curve, I'll get guys out with my changeup. Like, that's what starting pitchers do. And that's why guys like Michael King and Seth Lugo, who've made that transition from reliever to starter so successfully, they jump out at me as candidates for it because they have multiple pitches. They can pitch multiple innings. They have different, you know, Seth Lugo throws 9 different pitches. He has that to fall back on, the memory, the muscle memory of going to those pitches in big moments. Clay Holmes is just starting this process of believing in those pitches when the game is on the line, when the moments are, you know, opening day, real competition, the results matter. It's not spring training. You're not working on it. You're trying to get outs. And for 5 or 6 years, he's gotten outs with his slider and his sinker. And so to suddenly think day one, this guy's going to be able to throw a changeup whenever he wants or have the faith to do it whenever he wants, like, it's going to take some time. So he didn't have a great outing. Obviously, the Met offense was completely shut down by Framber Valdez. And then 2 rallies in the 8th and 9th fall short, including Juan Soto. The Yankee fans are having fun with it as they celebrated a victory in the Bronx. And Carlos Rodon, to me, yes, we could talk about the first ever catcher to hit a leadoff home run on opening day in the history of baseball and Wells, and the manager's decision to make him the leadoff hitter, and Volpe's home run, and the double from Aaron Judge, and then the scary 9th inning where Devin Williams comes in and kind of doesn't have his airbender and manages to get out of a jam but did not pitch all that well. All of those are secondary stories to me. Carlos Rodon is the story of this game because obviously the Yankees rotation, which was supposed to be their strength, which was supposed to be what separates them from the rest of the American League, obviously is down. Garrett Cole, who was there for the introductories with a big brace on his arm, dealing with Tommy John, obviously. And they lose Luis Gil, who's going to be back in sometime in July, hopefully. And he was tapped to start opening day when everybody wanted the new toy in Max Fried, the ace of the staff. Why aren't the Yankees making sure Max Fried starts? And instead, Aaron Boone taps Carlos Rodon for the start. And there was a little bit of pressure there. And what I saw from Carlos Rodon last night, or yesterday rather, was we have might seen a more dynamic Carlos Rodon. We've seen a better fastball than we saw yesterday. We've seen a more devastating slider. We've actually probably seen more swing and miss from Carlos Rodon. But what we saw yesterday from Carlos Rodon was the best pitching I have ever seen from him in a Yankee uniform. He was getting ahead with curveballs early in the count. He was throwing his changeup. He had the slider for strikes and the swing and miss slider in the dirt. He was really impressive with his pitch selection, with his pitchability, with all the different pitches he was throwing. This has been a traditional fastball slider, and the Yankees have tried to change that. He's been very predictable over the course of his career. A couple of real standout seasons where he had the fastball and slider working, but that's not going to last forever. Hitters catch on, make adjustments, and he's trying to adjust back. And last year he did it for most of the season, had some issues, but to me, I worry about the big game, and I worry about him being able to bounce back or stop the momentum once it starts building in the wrong direction. And you talk about being able to do that, which he did in this game within the 4th inning when he slips covering first base. He gets out of that jam, and then he comes back in the 5th and strikes out the side after I thought he might have been out of the game. Like, he gives up the home run. He kind of walks a couple batters, gives up a base hit, falls covering first base. We're not sure if he's banged up. The rest of that inning, the fastball's down a couple ticks, and I thought maybe he's out of that game. Instead, they bring him back for the 5th, and he has the most dominant inning of the game where he strikes out all 3 guys. So I thought he pitched with a lead. I thought he pitched in a big game opening day, a little bit of pressure. I thought his pitch mix was excellent. He was throwing everything for strikes. He looked calm, cool, and collected. And when things started to turn the other way, because the Yankees scored 2 runs in the 1st on 2 solo home runs, other than that, no real offense. He gives up the home run. It's a 1-run game for a couple of innings. He gets out of a jam in the 4th after falling down. Yankees do nothing in the bottom of the 4th. He comes back out for the 5th, and he has a dominant inning. And to me, that was the... You could argue that was the best pitching performance the Yankees have gotten from Carlos Rodon. And I like the idea that it's just enough pressure on opening day where you can kind of point to it and say, hey, look, that was a big game. A lot of people thought Max Fried should start. It's opening day. There's pressure. A lot of eyeballs. You're starting the season. ESPN, national televised game. Like, a little bit to it. Not a playoff game. Not a big game against the Red Sox. Not a Sunday night baseball game against the Mets or, you know, the Baltimore Orioles, but still a opening day, big game, and he responded. And he is going to be one of the pivotal guys. You look at this Yankee team, and you could point to a handful of guys and say, well, as he goes, so do the Yankees. And with the state of the rotation, Carlos Rodon is one of those guys. And this was a very first good start of the year and the first check of the box on Carlos Rodon, who goes out and gets the win on opening day. Now you're set up for Max Fried on Saturday. And that was a very solid win to go along with Aaron Boone making all the good decisions. Oh, we don't like Austin Wells as the leadoff hitter. He's a catcher. He's slow. Why don't you put Jazz Chisholm up there? Well, Austin Wells hits one out. Volpe hits one out on a big third year for him. The bullpen the rest of the way does a good job. Minus Williams. The Yankees get a win. The Mets get a loss. And we overreact to it all morning long. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here. As we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, E. Frank and Astoria. What's up, E. Frank?
Yes, what's up, C-Mac? I hope I don't get in trouble this time around for what I'm going to say, but I just want to congratulate Lauren Jensen for being a good sport at Creighton University, the point guard, for her loss there, 67-57, I guess, 66-57, you know, because she made a very good showing to make the NCAA women's tournament work out this year.
Okay.
All right. Now, I just want to tell you, C-Mac, I'm glad that the ACLS of 2024, the Yankees, is long gone, and the World Series with the Dodgers is way behind us. But I'm still concerned, like I was last year, in the pitching rotation, what Aaron Boone is going to do with this rotation, because it seems like he has a different outlook on how he's going to use the pitching staff this year. It's not going to be the same as it was in the prior 3 years.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, in prior years, he would make adjustments. But this time, he's allowing the new pitchers and, you know, to probably figure out on their own and give suggestions on how they can figure out a better strategy for this season. Because this is a new season, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a new season, Frank. I don't know what gives you the indication that he's going to do anything differently with the starting pitching. I haven't noticed anything. He hasn't talked about anything. I don't think they're doing anything different with the starting rotation. I think they're going to handle it exactly the same. The difference is right now they don't have Luis Hill. Right now they don't have Gerrit Cole. And Carlos Rodon is going to be an important piece. And for the first game, I thought he had a great game. I thought he pitched extremely well. He was getting breaking balls over early in the count. He was making sure he was keeping guys off the fastball. He was throwing Hoskins a bunch of changeups. Like, he was dealing out there and really mixing up his pitches well. And, I mean, this has been a traditional fastball slider guy. Like, if we talk about Clay Holmes being a sinker slider guy, you know, he's a four-seam fastball slider guy. That's what Rodon has been. And the Yankees have been trying to change him, and last year he was mostly successful. I mean, he won 16 games. And if you take away the four or five miserable starts, you know, in July or whenever it was, he pitched to an under 3 ERA. Now, I know 5 games is a lot to take out. Plus, I'm not saying, like, I worry about him in the big game. That's not going to change after one start. I'm not telling you, oh, yeah, give me, you know, game one of the playoffs. I know Rodon is a changed man. I'm just telling you, I don't ever remember as many off-speed, early-in-the-count strikes to get ahead as much as we saw in this game yesterday. I mean, he was mixing up his pitches. He had guys off balance. He was throwing everything for strikes. He had the slider in the zone. He had the slider down in the zone for swing and misses. He had 15 swings at his slider, 9 swings and misses. So, I mean, that's over half the time you were swinging at his slider, you were missing it. So, I mean, he had swing and miss stuff. He was locating the fastball for the most part, other than the home run. He was getting ahead with changeups. He was getting ahead with curveballs. He was throwing a bunch of different stuff, and he looked much more of a pitcher than he has ever looked in the Yankee uniform. Most of the time we see him in the Yankee uniform, what do we see? We see the first inning against the Kansas City Royals in the playoffs. We see him pumping fastballs and throwing sliders and getting swing and miss and being dominant at times, but he's coming at you with brute force strength. He's coming at you with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and a slider that falls off the table, and he's hoping you can't hit either one. That's it. And that's not what we saw yesterday. Yesterday we saw, all right, you're looking for that fastball? Here's a nice little break. Here's a nice little curveball right in the zone for strike one. You're looking for that fastball? Here's a changeup low and away. Like, we haven't seen that from him. So I'm not trying to make a huge deal out of it, but it wasn't just, oh, here's vintage Rodon. He threw a bunch of fastballs and a bunch of sliders, and he was brilliant. Like, That would be a good day, right? That's a good day. Wouldn't take anything away from it, but I wouldn't make as big a deal of it because, okay, Rodon was on his game. He had his fastball up in the high 90s. He was locating it. He had the slider working. Got a lot of swing and misses. It was a good dominant performance from... This wasn't a typical Rodon. This was pitching. This was the fastball early in the season still only sitting at 95. This was getting ahead with breaking pitches. This was pitching backwards. This was doing a lot of different stuff that I don't remember seeing a ton of from this guy. So I thought it was a very, very, very positive outing from Carlos Rodon. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Chris, Overreaction Friday is here upon us.
Overreaction Friday is here. We had all offseason to talk about it. 162. We had 162, and we've already made decisions on what these teams look like.
I can't believe we signed this joke on us. I'm so disgusted.
I know. Juan Soto, what a bum.
Chris, you'll like this. Baseball's 162-game season, right?
Yeah.
So I guess you can say it's a long and winding road.
Oh, look at you trying to play to my vanity. Give me a little Beatles.
I give that to you because I love you.
Oh, well, thank you, Tommy.
I fell asleep. I work overnight, and overnights and being a baseball fanatic do not mix.
I understand.
Oh, it's a challenge, man. I wound up watching the Dodgy game against School Bull, and then I stayed up to watch
I saw the Teoscar Hernandez, too. Yeah. I was watching it, yeah.
Yeah. Arizona against the Cubs, and I can't. So I missed. I'm sorry to say, I missed the first 3 hours of your show. So it's been pretty bad. Are we giving up on Soto already? Is that the story?
I mean, well, listen. Don't ask me. Ask Evan Roberts.
Oh, what did he say?
What did Evan Roberts?
And Juan Soto, wake the hell up! We can't be having these weak swings at sliders, 3-2 in the dirt to lose a game to the Astros.
Wake the hell up, Juan Soto!
Is that real?
Oh, that's real. It's real and it's spectacular.
Oh, that's good. A little Seinfeld. And we've got to tell you, we're on today, man.
Well, listen, today's a great... Listen, I don't normally play into it, but I'm only human. Let's have a little fun. Because all offseason, Yankee fans, whether they were lying to themselves, the actual real case was for Yankee fans, had a rough offseason. Coming off the fifth inning of Game 5... losing the World Series to the Dodgers, losing Juan Soto, and the Met fan has been sticking it to the Yankee fan all offseason long. Big brother, richer owner, better GM, better team, won more games against the Dodgers in the tougher National League. Like, we've heard all of it. And for one day, and of course it's only one day, and Juan Soto's tremendous, but the New York Yankees win, Carlos Rodon outpitches Clay Holmes, and Juan Soto, with the game on the line in the ninth inning with two outs, not only does he not come through, but he strikes out chasing, which is what Juan Soto doesn't do. And if you take it back one full year to last year, Juan Soto comes through in that exact same spot for the New York Yankees. Comes through with the base hit off of Bader, lines it lines it off Hader to left field, gets the base hit, scores Gleyber Torres, takes the lead. Then, you know, he throws people out at the plate. He had an incredible series against the Houston Astros last year for the Yankees in Houston. Same situation, comes through off the closer, and for the Mets, swings at a slider and strikes out. So today, the Yankee fan has been gloating a little bit. I'm sure they'll gloat all day. Yankees win. Mets lose, and Soto, in the first real big spot in a Met uniform, comes up small. Never mind the fact he got a single and two walks earlier in the game, and that it's one stinking game, and that he struck out against one of the best pitchers in baseball. Never mind all that. He blew it. Wake the hell up, Juan Soto. You can't be striking out, half swinging at sliders in the dirt to lose games to the Houston Astros. Evan Roberts, I love you. Ralph in Bradley Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Here's my man. I'm a big Mets fan, but I just want to say about my monkey story. It wasn't about the monkeys. What happened was an opening guy comes on, and my friend goes, "Who's this guy, Blues?" It was Jimi Hendrix. That's the story.
Oh, that's right. Jimi Hendrix opened for the monkeys. That's right.
Yeah, he opened up, and the animals had brought him in. But as far as this Mets thing, I never wanted Soto for 15 years, and I'm telling you, you're an intelligent guy. I am pissed off, and you have the glory, C-Mac, because I'm pissed off about where's the pitching staff. I don't want 15 years with this guy. I, like you said, he's tremendous, but I think you guys made the right move. I'm pissed off as a Mets.
Well, the Yankees didn't really make the move. They just were unable. Well, they tried. They couldn't get it. The Mets outmoved them.
I like Bellinger. I like what they did. compared to, I mean, to get the pitcher, I don't like what we did. I'm disappointed, and the pitcher staff, come on. You got Clay Holmes starting as your starter? I'm kind of got, you know, the answer to the pain is giving me agita. But I got to tell you, my birthday's April 3rd, and my sister in California got me tickets for this Sunday game in San Francisco. What it is I don't have tickets to the game. They have a big outside arena, Chris, and they have an amazing new restaurant they built where the players go through. So you have to get tickets. And on my birthday, I'm going to go see the, you know, Florida, I guess. But
all right, nice.
It's gonna be great. I'll be thinking of you guys. I'll be out there because I fly for free, retired from the airlines. I get non-rep. But see, Matt, you're a good man. Oh. You're very and I'll tell you, I'm really happy today. What is it? Payback Friday?
I think Overreaction Friday.
Reaction. I think I'll go to McDonald's and get the pancake extra. I usually only get the two sauces.
Oh, you're going to splurge on McDonald's pancakes.
I'm going to splurge with the extra pancake.
There you go, Ralph. That's a glorious day. Thank you very much. And I'm glad you've lifted your ban of not calling in. Because I want you to call in with your stories about Jimi Hendrix and the monkeys and pancakes. I love it. That's what the overnight's about. Splurging on McDonald's pancakes. You're going to get two sausages. Not one, but two. And the Yankees did a promotional thing, a video they put out, and I actually saw him walking around the, I don't know, Two Phones. I've never heard of Two Phones, but that's an interesting name. As I was thinking of two sausages, Two Phones. I guess he's obviously a musical artist. I've never heard of Two Phones. But if my wife ever heard I have two phones, it'd be a problem. Thankfully, I do not. But I didn't see a lot. I have to admit, you know, on opening day, sometimes you see a lot of celebrities. The only people I saw was obviously Steve Sciarippa, who's at everything. I don't know. The guy has time to go to every Knick game, you know, everything. And he's at the Yankee game yesterday. And then the only other person I saw was Jeff Ross, the Mr. Roast, the roast comedian Jeffrey Ross. That's it. So, Roast Master General, I suppose, is his title, yes. He's the only one I saw. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. I guess MLB also had an issue. I forgot to mention this. MLB had an issue with their the app. I know I was trying to watch the Met game a little bit while at Yankee Stadium just to, you know, see what's going on, see how Clay was doing, and I couldn't get it. And I saw everybody on Twitter just screaming about not being able to get SNY. So this is the first time the SNY is working through MLB, the app. So if you have SNY or you pay for either SNY itself or you have SNY on cable, you could watch it through the MLB app. And apparently, I don't know if it was all of the games being played at 3 o'clock, which, by the way, I hate. Play the games at 1 o'clock. But they're playing all the games at 3. The season opened in Japan 2 weeks ago. Now they're every game's at 3. It's up against the Sweet 16. The app isn't working. I love Major League Baseball, but sometimes it really feels like they do everything they possibly can to just be made fun of and just be mocked. Like, nothing works. Everything starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not opening day to me. It's 1 o'clock, but 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday and up against the Sweet 16 at night, some of these games. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know. And then the app's not working on top of it. Everybody's screaming, I can't watch the Met game while I'm at Yankee Stadium. Come on, baseball. It's opening day. Let's figure it out.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, 431. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. On this overreaction to opening day Friday and the Juan Soto at bat. Mets lose, Yankees win, and the game ends with a Juan Soto strikeout that even Evan is upset about. Play it one more time. I love hearing it.
And Juan Soto, wake the hell up. We can't be having these weak swings at sliders, 3-2 in the dirt, to lose a game to the Astros.
Can't have it. Can't have it, Evan. I agree. Wake the hell up, Juan Soto. I mean, what the hell? Last year in the same spot with the New York Yankees came through. And I think that's part of it, right? Like the idea, I'm sure Marash was all over him. You get
That's what it is. We've gotten so high on this Yankee Met thing that it's got to a level where anytime Juan Soto does anything, if Juan Soto would have got a base hit in that moment, every Met fan would have been all over the Yankees. See what you missed out on? This is why we brought him in here. But he strikes out, so every Yankee fan takes a bow. All right, so I like to be fair, even though Evan would not be fair with me. Okay? Evan would gladly take me out of context and play whatever I said and pound me with it. But I have to admit, listening to that, I don't know if he's being over the top. I don't know if he's being sarcastic. He sounds like he's genuinely annoyed. So I'm told, as we welcome in the great Chris Lopresti, who will be filling in today in the morning show, I'm told you have the answer on the context of Evan Roberts' conversation.
Yes, that nine-second clip that you've been enjoying throughout the course of the morning was the closing thought of what was a 52-minute Rico Bernia podcast.
Okay.
It was not sarcastic or tongue-in-cheek.
No.
Now, I will say, he started the podcast with a lot of thoughts on the Juan Soto at bat.
Okay.
And while he did say, look, I love Juan Soto, and up until that point,
it was a great debut, but he
was genuinely bothered and annoyed by the way that at bat and the game ended and the subsequent text message barrage.
Oh, see, I knew it.
He got from Yankee fans.
I knew that's it. That's the because you know the Yankee fans are going to take. Listen, they've dealt with it all offseason. Yeah. And we've hyped up this Yankee Met thing to its extreme. So anytime Juan Soto does anything, and opening day, and it's eerily similar to last year's opening day. Like, that's what, like, it's the idea he came through against Hader for the Yankees, and he strikes out against them, with the Mets in an at bat that he's 3-0 on.
Yes.
Like, the other thing about it, if he hits a fly ball that's caught right before the wall, okay. Hits a bullet right at someone, okay. But up 3-0 and then expanding and swinging at a bad slider out, you know, far outside the strike zone, that is so anti-Juan Soto that it's almost like it's even worse because that's his biggest strength.
Yeah.
So it really feels like, man, that's a rough at bat for him in that moment. And I'm sure the Yankee fans are having some fun with it. So, I could tell. I didn't think it was sarcastic. I didn't think he was doing the overreaction of the Met fan, and I'm sure they're going to say this. Like, I knew that was real.
He was genuinely bothered. Yeah. I think it was the symmetry and maybe the bizarre world Juan Soto compared to last year, you said. And the phrase that he referenced with all the text messages where Yankee fans looking to spike the football after one game.
Well, that's what we do.
So there you go.
No, of course. But okay, well, thank you. I feel like I didn't misrepresent Evan. Not that I gave a damn, to be totally honest with you. But yes, thank you very much. I knew he was annoyed, and I understand, but it's one game. I mean, the guy got on base 3 times. But yeah, in that and that is the thing about it is, one, yeah, if you're Evan or you have a bunch of Yankee fan friends and you're a Met fan that you've been, you know, dunking on the Yankees all off season and saying how you're the big brother and taking over the town and the organization is far run better. I mean, that's part of it too. Like, as a Yankee fan, I try not to let this stuff bother me, and for the most part, it doesn't. And I've always said this. And honestly, I wish they would have beaten the Astros. I freaking hate the Astros. I'm competing as a Yankee fan. We're competing with the Astros. I don't want the Astros to win. I want the Astros to lose. Theoretically, they could be. They could decide the Yankee home field advantage in the wild card series. Like, anything could happen. I want the Astros and anyone else in the American League that's any good to lose every game when they play the National League teams, including against the Mets. But even I would have to say, like, it's been obnoxious about trying to give all the reasons why Juan Soto signed with the New York Yankees. I think that's a lot of it. Because, you know, for years, the Met fan has been complaining about the ownership and their lack of spending money. And they don't treat this like a major market. It's treated like a small market team. They don't spend money. The Wilpons are cheap. It's a joke. It's of course, there's the Yankees buying championships, blah, blah. Been complaining about the money this team spent forever. When Steve Cohen was announced, when they first found out, Steve Cohen, Met fans found out that Steve Cohen bought the team, it wasn't, hey, we got a new smart owner. We got a billionaire. We got a billionaire who's going to throw around money, a billionaire who the rest of Major League Baseball is uncomfortable him joining the ranks of owner inside Major League Baseball. He runs a hedge fund. He's a Met fan. He buys, you know, Jackson Pollocks at garage sales. Like, it doesn't matter. The money doesn't matter to him, and that's all. I can't wait. And he's got the highest payroll, and he's guaranteeing championships, and we love it. And then, like, when he makes the move where he outmoneys the Yankees and spends all this money and signs the biggest contract in the history of sports, it's not that it's not good enough to just be money. Now we have to find reasons, especially because it's the Yankees. They're desperate to find reasons why it's because the organization is better. It's not just that the owner is richer. It's that the organization is better, and he chose us over you. It can't just be money, even though you've been fighting to be the money. Like, this is glorious that you're the money team now. It's glorious that you have the richer owner. It's what you've been asking for. But when it finally takes place, when he finally throws that wallet on the table, when he finally wins the big game because of the money, that's not good enough. You got to find reasons why they're the organization that he chose. So there's documentaries, and there's Sports Illustrated interviews, and there's Soto talking about family, and we're talking about sweets, and we're talking about everything else other than it was the money, right? And I agree that there's, it's not just the money. I think that's fair. But it's been thrown in the Yankee fan's face. The Met fan has been just absolutely relishing the idea that it's not just the money. It's that we're better set up for future success. Our organization is better than yours. We have a better farm system. We have a better owner. We have a better GM. We have a better pitching lab. We are set up, and Juan Soto saw it, and that's why he's a Met. And we've been dealing with that all offseason long. So on opening day, when he does something that he doesn't normally do and expand his zone and strike out to end the game while the Yankees are winning on opening day, the Yankee fan is going to have a little fun for one day. For one day. It's a 162-game season, and the Mets might be back on top and giving it to the Yankee fan for the next 161. But today, the Yankee fan is going to have a little bit of fun. The leadoff hitter that everybody thinks is a joke that the catcher's hitting leadoff hits a home run. Carlos Rodon, how the hell is Carlos Rodon starting on opening day? Oh, you God forbid you switch things around and give the ace on opening day. Carlos Rodon's a bum. Carlos Rodon goes out and out pitches Clay Holmes, who had a .0000081 whip in spring training, and he's going to be the next ace of the staff. And everything came up roses for the New York Yankees and their fans, and particularly the fans who have this dynamic with the Met fan. And that's why Evan's pissed off. He's pissed off he lost the game, but he knows it's one game. He's pissed off Juan Soto chased outside the zone, but that happens, even to Juan Soto. He's pissed off that Juan Soto was up 3-0 and couldn't come through. I mean, he's pissed off, but he's mostly pissed off because he got text message from Yankee fans. He had guys throwing it in his face, and he doesn't like that. Let's go to Phil and Howell. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Listen, talk about. All right, man. I'd like to talk about, you know, the Mets, especially their starting lineup. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, the way that I see it, I would have Lindor. I like Nemo up second, Soto up third, Bientros up fourth. And I like beat up fifth. But I'm telling you, I knew when they signed Alonso and they were going to bat Alonso ahead of Soto that I'm telling they're going to pitch around Soto all year if he doesn't make that change. They will. And I'm telling you, it got to his head because maybe on the 3-0 count and then it was 3-2 and then he throws the pitch in the dirt and he swings, you know, at a bad pitch. Maybe it's the fact that, you know what, he didn't want to walk in that situation. He wanted to hit that situation because maybe he doesn't trust B coming up with the bases loaded than him being in a base.
I mean, Phil, I appreciate it, and I'm going to try and get to as many calls as I can here. If you want to tell me that they're 2 months in and Pete Alonso's hitting 190, okay. You can't tell me on opening day that Juan Soto is convinced Pete Alonso sucks and that he has to come through in that moment or Pete won't. I find that very, very difficult to believe. I mean, I know he hit in front of Judge last year and Manny Machado and that lineup had some good hitters in it in San Diego. But, and like, you know, Rendon was there in 2019 and 2020 with the Nationals. But like, The idea that he's never had that he's always had this unbelievable great hitter behind him is just like he expanded the zone, and it's one day. Maybe it was the idea of coming through in that moment with his new team and the contract and everything. But even that's premature to say on day one, he got beat by a good pitch. That's it. He got beat by a really good pitcher on a really good pitch. I don't think anything was in his head. I really don't. I'm sure he's fine with walking. He walked twice in this game. I think he thought a fastball was coming and got fooled. It happens. But again, you want to talk to me in a month when Pete Alonso is off to a miserable start? Okay. You want to talk to me in a month or a month and a half if Juan Soto's underperforming, if Juan Soto's hitting .220 and he's not having a typical Juan Soto season, and you want to talk about the pressures of the contract and the pressures of this and it's got to his head and all that, then we can have that conversation. It's day one. It's one at bat in a game that he got on base three separate times. I think we're blown out of proportion here, but that's what we do on Overreaction Friday.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He has on the first base side of the rubber, rests the glove on his left thigh, looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch, swung out and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Bum, 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 bum. All right, 448, McMonagle here with you. Let's get through as many calls as we can. You guys have been out in full force here over the last few hours with the calls. Love it. So let's get through as many as we can as we take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. As we have a little fun on this overreaction to one of 162 on opening day. Baseball Feel Good Friday. Why not? 888-808-1019. Tonight is your night, bro. Maureen Belmore. What's up, bud?
Yeah, I'll be quick. Tonight is your night, bro.
Yeah, please. Would you be quick?
How's your 750 now? That's number one.
Okay.
We're undefeated. 65. You're not. And third one, how did mom look in a Target outfit that you bought her last night in the field? Boom! There you go! You won the offseason. I got you today. Just one day. Overreaction Friday, baby. Let's go.
The classic Overreaction Friday call right there. The quintessential Overreaction Friday call. Hey, take your 750. It was actually $765 million now. You bum. You better wake up, Juan Soto. Can't be having half swings at sliders in the dirt to lose games against the Houston Astros, the great Evan Roberts. Mitchell and Fort Lee, what's up, Mitch?
Hey, Big Mac. Listen, you know, it's amazing you're talking about this. I was with my girlfriend last night, and she brought up about Soto. And she's like, well, they paid all this money for Soto. I said, well, it's one game. And she got all angry. We had a fight for like 2 hours about everything else. But it's just amazing. But you know what the best part about today was? The Yankee team looks good. They really, you know what? It's not like, dude, we're going to look for a big home run. We got some singles and everything else. Rodon looked great. The only time I talked, I said, oh, no. There goes Rodon. When he missed the place, when he ran the first base,
yep.
I said, he's going to limp. He's going to hurt himself. But after that, Yankees played a great game. You know, it's the first game. I love everyone. Big Mac, I just came back from JFK. I'm listening to everyone. It's the first game. We got a long season, guys.
Of course.
Let's just enjoy the baseball and let's, you know, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree, Mitch, and I agree with you on the Carlos Rodon. Again, it's one start. I did like the way he pitched. I did like his pitch mix. I did think he really did a good job keeping hitters off balance. He used his curveball more. He got ahead in the count with curveballs and changeups. I thought he really had a nice game. I think you could also point to the idea in previous seasons with the New York Yankees, the last 2 years, not making that play, right? And again, to have that kind of play on back-to-back games, right? Game 5 of the World Series and then followed up with Game 1 with obviously two different players in Goldschmidt and Rodon. But to have that exact kind of play where Goldschmidt absolutely should have just went to the base. Like this one, at least Rodon made the effort. Now he falls off to the third base side as a left-handed pitcher. I thought he could have, you know, maybe he was like a tick late trying to make it to first base. But in my mind, that's on Goldschmidt. He's got to just go to the bag. It's clear When you see a fast runner and the pitcher and the runner are even, like he's not going to beat him. You got to get there. So I blame Goldschmidt. But after that moment where little things like that go wrong, an easy ground ball to first base is turned into a single. That's the kind of thing that has set Rodon off, and he's been unable to stop the ball rolling in the wrong direction. Now, again, not the greatest hitting team. The lineup, especially in the middle to the bottom of the order, is not very good. They got Contreras, they got Chirinos, and they got Yelich. Outside of that, not a ton of great hitters in the lineup, but still, that's the kind of moment that has that Rodon allows the game to spiral out of control. And you were thinking it, and I was thinking it, and everybody in the building was thinking it. Then we're worried about him being hurt, and I made sure to watch the velocity on the first couple pitches he throws after it, and his fastball went down to 92. He was throwing 95 almost all game, and then after that incident, he was throwing 92, and I thought he was hurt, and I was convinced that it was going to start to spiral out of control. Instead, he gets out of the jam with a good play on a little dribbler in front of the plate, and he's able to make the play himself and get out of the inning. And then he comes back for the fifth. And I think that is a major turning point in the game, because he comes back out for the fifth and goes through the batting, goes through the order, you know, 1, 2, 3, and strikes out all three guys and has his most dominant inning of the game. I thought that was a turning point. Yeah, they still had to get out of a jam in the sixth with Tim Hill. And obviously adding the runs and getting out of it in the ninth, you could turn to all those as turning points. But for me, that fifth inning, when I thought Rodon was on the ropes and I thought coming out for that fifth inning was going to be scary, it wasn't only not scary. He went through them like a hot knife through butter. I thought that was as important an inning for Carlos Rodon and the game as you could have. And it's something we don't typically see from him. Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
Oh, it's going to be a long 15 years with Mets fans and Soto. I'm telling you right now.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if they win a little bit, they'll get off his back. But I mean, I think this is just, it's the first game. I think there's so much, you know, coincidence between opening the season against the same team in the same ballpark and coming through in the same situation for the Yankees last year. I just think all of it, chasing outside the zone, which is so unlike him. Like, it'd been one thing if he, you know, got caught looking or hit a ball to the wall and it was caught, or hit a bullet to the second baseman or something. Like, he doesn't have to come through necessarily, but to swing and miss at a slider on a 3-2 count really far off the plate, that's just, it's anti-Soto. So it's a little bit of a jarring look, and the Met fan isn't happy about it as the Yankees take game one.
Yeah, but you can't react to any one at that. That's just not how you look at baseball.
Of course.
Now I'm going to start reacting to the Yankee game, which was only one game. The thing that you loved about what happened with the Yankees, that so many of their question marks came up positive.
Yeah.
Volpe, who, you know, hasn't done much in his first couple of years. Ben Rice, who could be a really key contributor. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
Rodon, by the way, about quickly on Rodon, his changeup, I saw something the other day where his changeup was one of the best pitches in baseball last year. So if he starts leaning on that more, yeah, this might not be just the one start thing. He might be able to keep this up.
He had he threw three straight changeups to Hoskins. I don't ever remember. Now, again, do I remember every pitch sequence of every game of every start of Carlos Rodon? No. But it jumped out to me when he threw three straight changeups to Hoskins, and he had a swing and miss and then two foul balls. And I was like, wow, three straight changeups? That's unique for him. And I just thought he had a really good pitch mix. I really did. I thought he had a really good pitch mix.
Yeah, I mean, when they signed him, he was fastball slider, and that was it. So that's it. Yeah.
And how many at-bats did he get ahead with a curveball to start the at-bat? Like, it just didn't look like him. He looked like a real pitcher out there and not someone just trying to blow it past you and then fool you with the slider. He was mixing things in. He was trying to get ahead. He was keeping keeping hitters off balance. I really thought it was the best pitching performance we have seen from Carlos Rodon in a Yankee uniform.
Now, the one area of concern for me was Devin Williams. Now, Devin Williams obviously comes out, loads the bases.
Mm-hmm.
Cold weather, change-up pitcher. I have Trevor Hoffman, you know, ingrained in my memory for all those years, failing in the postseason, just something that bears watching. I was looking at his splits. Actually, he's a dominant pitcher, but he starts out slow.
Yeah.
And we all remember obviously what happened with him and Alonso last year. It just bears watching that how he does in cold weather.
I mean, I guess we'll take a look at it. I'm not overly concerned. I mean, I actually think it's a positive. I know I'm the Yankee shill, and of course I see it that way. But I do think getting his feet wet with the team, struggling, finding it, and then, you know, coming through and getting out of the jam and still securing the save, it's actually, you know, it's something he can lean back on. It's, you know, it's, he's been a dominant pitcher for a long time. So, I mean, it's not anything I worry about. I'm not overly worried about him in the first start against, you're right, cold weather, first game ever as a Yankee, opening day against a team that knows him as well as anyone, a team he played for his whole career prior to this year. So I'm willing to just chalk that up to just a bad game. We'll see. Well, it's always worth monitoring. But people keep throwing the Alonso home run out there. Now, I'm not trying to compare anyone to Mariano Rivera, but can we not act like Mariano Rivera didn't blow games in the biggest moments? Like, I love Mo, you know, unanimous Hall of Famer, he's Mariano. But 97, he gives up the home run to Alomar, loses the game. You know, 01, he blows the game in against the Diamondbacks. Obviously, 04, he blows game four for the sweep. Like, it's not like he's been perfect. So the idea that, oh my God, what do we know about Williams? He gave up a home run to Alonso. He's not perfect. Give a home run to Alonso, one of the premier, him and Judge are the two premier home run hitters in the sport over the last 5 or 6 years. Give him a home run. We act like that's more important than the 1.83 ERA he's amassed over the first 4 years of his career. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac. You know, I wasn't going to call this morning, but I got to say,
what changed your mind?
Well, because one thing you said a few minutes ago really ticked me off, sure. I'll be honest with you.
That's okay.
You know, all I've heard, and I'm the one who puffed my chest out during the offseason, you know, given how the Mets played last year and that we got Soto and everything, I was excited, sure. But, you know, all the Mets fan has heard for the last 30 years is how mm-hmm. they've never had the Yankees have had a winning season for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the success and everything, and even this year they're expected to, you know, possibly make the World Series. You know, you can't have 5 months of not having the headlines. God forbid the Mets make the headlines for 5 months. You guys are so insecure, you can't handle it. It's ridiculous.
No, it's not that we can't handle it. And again, it's not me, it's not you necessarily. It's the collective. And yes, after hearing it for 5 months, when we've ratcheted it up. For one day, the Yankee fan's going to have some fun. That's just how it is. And if Max Fried gets lit up on Saturday, oh, nice 8-year contract to a 30-year-old starting pitcher, you morons. Another Cashman classic. You should be smart like Stearns and go pick up nobodies and turn them into aces. That's what we'll hear. Thank you guys so much for calling. Nico on the other side. Fleegelman, everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. The warm-up show is next. Bye-bye!
It's Radio 101.9 FM. WFM.